Good looking kid, isn't he?
I just have to tell you right off the bat, it really struck me sitting down there. I speak a lot. I'm on the National Astrology Lecture Circuit, and I speak at a lot of these big conferences and different organizations. But really, sitting here tonight is the first time that I've ever felt that feeling of really a wonderful sense of community that you have here. I mean, there's such a fantastic feeling of family. I mean, that was the word that really struck me. It's interesting because I'm talking about the... Yeah, please give yourselves a hand. I mean, you're talking primarily about the moon tonight, you know, and that feeling of closeness and that sense of emotional and domestic tranquility. It's just really wonderful, and I really thank you all for having me here tonight and finding out about you. I wasn't even aware that Reverend Milley's circle existed. We had such a wonderful dinner tonight and a wonderful conversation together. So, briefly, just to get the practical things out of the way. My name is Keith Burke. I am the managing director of the Cadent Cross Institute. We're a school of astrology and metaphysics located primarily in Mission Valley, although we have some facilities that we share in areas throughout the county. We have all sorts of different educational outreaches. We have classes and workshops on primarily astrology and the tarot, but really all kinds of different metaphysical endeavors and spiritual classes on developing clairvoyance and consciousness and use of aromatherapy and lots of really neat stuff. So anyway, there's some promotional literature in there in the back, and I'd be more than happy to talk to you about who we are and what it is we do. We also do a lot for the community, and one of the things that I'm really proud of is that we have a free monthly lecture series where it's totally free. No donations, no nothing. Show up. And we have a speaker that comes out to talk about something metaphysical and something spiritual. And I think it's really important. I was saying to Dennis and I were talking about it at dinner tonight, that there's so many different communities out there that have different groups such as yourselves that are reaching out in some level to reconnect with life, to reconnect with the spirit. And yet, it's been cloistered. I mean, in many ways, this is perhaps a repercussion of the feelings that there it needed to be hidden. There were repercussions to stick oneself out there in society and talk about those things that are weird. But it's not the case anymore, especially not in 21st century in Southern California. So we're really trying to reach out to all people that are interested in anything that qualifies as spiritual, anything that qualifies as psychological, anything that's metaphysical. Anything ultimately that gives us that sense of reconnecting. So we do have, in the back, there's these little yellow cards here. If you're interested, we have an email list and a website. The email list is privately maintained. I have privacy issues myself. But I'd be more than happy to let you know. We send out a newsletter. It's got the speaker and the topic and what have you every month. So that out of the way. I'm not really here tonight to talk to you about astrology so much as I am to talk about need fulfillment and reconnecting with the divine source. I don't need to convince you that you should believe in astrology. I mean, astrology really isn't something to believe in. It's not a belief system. It's a map. It's a reference point, an extraordinarily rich symbolism that can be used in part to say something about the nature of experience of our lives. And this idea, the nature of experience idea, this concept of a oneness, a linking principle that we are somehow connected to biologically and emotionally and spiritually and mentally. That's not a bizarre idea. It's a cyclical idea. It's one that kind of comes in and out of vogue, but the premise being that somehow the oneness, which is God in the universe, we are an intrinsic part of that and are a reflection of that. And then astrology's premise is ultimately that we can say something about that, about the specificity of how each of us are individually connected with the divine and with the nature of experience. This principle of the four corners, which is an ancient idea, the elemental premise. Astrology talks about air, earth, fire, and water, but it's an old idea. Some of the Eastern mystic religions have five, but that there are these primal energies, so to speak, that make up what we understand to be the oneness and the divine. Now, what astrology can do is show some of the patterns that that energy takes in an individual life. There are signs and there are planets, and I'm not here to give you a lesson on astrology. This is a complex subject. We teach a 30-week program that meets for 3 hours a night once a week just to kind of get a handle on it. I'm not going to be able to do it in 20 minutes. But what I can do is talk to you about something that is most important and something that's really gotten lost probably since the advent of the patriarchy, and particularly in a male-dominated Western hemispheric tradition such as we have. Most of you in here, if not all of you, I'm sure know what your sign is. Your sign is your sun sign. But just out of curiosity, how many of you know what your moon sign is? A couple, handful, that's good. The moon is the most important consideration in the astrological horoscope. That's a controversial idea, but it's true. Modern astrological terms don't really do the moon justice. There's a lot of talk about instinct and safety and comfort and security, which is wonderful. I have a moon in Gemini, so I'm comfortable being Gemini. So what? That doesn't really do anything for us pragmatically and practically. What we have to do in order to make contact with the moon is to get into this resonant idea of energies that make up the universe. And the most principal idea that there are two opposing energies. There's yin and there's yang, called many different things in many different traditions. But it is the archetypal masculine and the archetypal feminine. And those two energies are in an intrinsic balance with each other. They have to be in order for there to be a flow of life between these two poles. But what astrology does is says that there's something about the mythic symbolism of the sun and the mythic symbolism of the moon that has a key premise that has something to do with this balancing of two forces. Now, what has happened to the moon? Everybody knows what the sun sign is, but the moon has really been relegated off into nothingness, into comfort, into safety. It's kind of like a June Cleaver type of idea. Be nice, moon. Just kind of stay over there on the side. This moon is the linchpin to the whole astrological horoscope, and it represents need fulfillment. The moon as principal yin is what you need to take yin from life experience in order to feel most fulfilled. And it comes first. The moon, when we start talking about the moon and we start talking about yin, we are into the feminine, the primary feminine principle. And astrologically, mythologically, psychologically, there's a strong representation between yin and water, what water ultimately entails. Every single creation myth since the beginning of time, all the ancient Canaanite and Babylonian, all the creation mythologies start with water. In the beginning, there is water. Even the Bible itself, the Judeo-Christian Bible, which is permeated with a lot of the patriarchal tradition that's developed. It's fascinating, in fact, that the Bible itself doesn't have a goddess to match up with the God. But even the Bible can't get away from it. The very first, the book of Genesis, verse 1, book 1, in the beginning there was a great void, and the Spirit of God moved across the waters. There's nothing there, but there's water. And that's a really important idea, because from water comes everything. In the beginning there was water. In the end there will be water. All of these mythologies, I'm sure many of you know them. In the beginning there's water, and then something happens, there's form, branch drops, something. But it is the source. It is, again, this sense of the divine yin. Water is the creative principle. The female is the creative principle. Men don't make life. I mean, they may have a role in it. I'm sure it's very difficult. You know, they have to have sex with somebody they're attracted to, you know, and then their job is done. I'm sure it's really hard for them, comparing to all the things that happen in the 9-month gestation labor that a woman goes through. But come on. In the end, the feminine principle is the life-creating principle. Everything starts there. So this is ultimately what we need to look for. This idea that somehow there's something in this primary watery principle that is a reconnection to the divine, to the very beginning.
Now, the human womb, you know, is synonymous with the great universal womb, if we're going to talk about the creation of life. And there's something very profound about, again, this type of symbolism. And the moon itself is well understood to be that archetype of the grand feminine, and it's powerful. The sun is important. I mean, the sun is the generator of life. The sun gives us energy. The sun is yang. But the moon is timeless, and we can feel that. Full moon blazing across the night sky. You step outside. There's something magical about it, and there's something mystical about it, and there's something underneath the surface, and it is so much larger.
And it's calling. The moon connects us to our souls. It connects us to the oneness from which we all came. We grow into our sun, but the moon represents the nourishment, it represents the food, it represents the source of water in which we need to survive. Now, I unfortunately, just from the amount of time that I have, I mean, we can't go into great detail about this, but what I can do, and my goal here tonight, is give you just a little tool that you're going to be able to walk away with to understand a little bit better about what you need most out of life in order to feel fulfilled. I give a lecture on, and it's based on a book I'm writing, which is Using Astrology for Modern Stress Management. And the basic premise is that you can't be stressed if your needs are getting met. It's impossible. The source of stress comes from two things. One, it's not getting your own intrinsic needs met. And two, it's the management of change. But this idea of needs, then, is extraordinarily important. How do we identify our needs? It all boils down to, I mean, basically we need to be safe and we need to feel loved in a very specific fashion. Caring and protection and nurturance in a specific fashion. Coordinated and orientated perhaps to a specific type of energy. It's how we feel safe. Now we all feel safe in different ways. I mean, some of us feel extraordinarily safe and connected to life and getting our needs met. When you're racing down a ski slope somewhere out there in the middle of the God's wilderness, and some of us feel that sitting at home in some kind of a lavender-infused aromatherapy bath with a glass of wine and a lot of candles around there, okay? Everybody's got different needs. Everybody's got different things that make them feel good and makes them feel safe. You know, public speaking is one of the most, is the number one stressor in some research that has been done. It freaks people out. No one really likes to do it. I love it. I feed off of it. I thrive on that. Okay? My needs are getting met there. So the question is then, if you're going to manage life, and you're going to manage life's stresses, and you're going to ultimately try and connect with the source of who you are, how can you figure out what your needs are? What is the most primary need? So you're going to see back there, and this is just something I've given. If you haven't picked one up already, you can pick one up as you leave. It's a little chart. I'm going to give you a little teeny tiny astrology lesson before you leave today. If you want to know more, you can always contact me later. The way that this chart really works is that there's two columns. One is a sun column and one is a moon column. The premise, again, is simply this. The moon represents what you need to take out of life in order to feel fulfilled. It's complicated, the aspects that it's made and the houses that it's in and yada, yada, yada. There's all sorts of things that affect that and change that. And it's individualistic for a lot of different people and all kinds of different other planets and blah, 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 fancy stuff. But it boils down to the simplicity of just that. There's one primary yin symbol and that's what you need to take out of life, and the moon has something to say about that. The sun represents what you do. What you throw out there into life, the yang energy that you use to get your moon needs met. Simple. Easy formula. This is what I need. This is what I'm going to do in order to try and get those needs met. That's how you can use this little chart here. And when you understand the sun-moon blend in a horoscope, then you're 75% of the way there. You've got the primary fuel that everybody's working off of. So just looking at this chart for those of you that have it there, we can take any kind of a moon out there. An Aquarian moon, there's a need to be socially significant, unusual, unique, a need to be informed and aware, a need to be in control of one's mental outlook, to be respected for one's thoughts and opinions. This is an ideological need. It's a need to come up with a mental classification structure. There's humanitarian aspects to that, altruistic aspects to that, but this is the primary need symbolism if you have an Aquarius moon.
Now, depending upon what sun a person has, they're going to use different types of energies to get that met. If we've got a Libra sun, then there's energy to please and gain appreciation, to establish balance and harmony, to reach out socially and intellectually. That was John Lennon's sun-moon blend, the great idealistic writer for the Beatles, who had a tremendous ideological component that was being put out there in a very social and mental fashion. Now, if we've got a different sun, we're going to see that expressed in a different way. A Sagittarius sun, energy for self-assertion, for adventure, for constant change and stimulation, to affect thought by establishing personal philosophy to teach and to promote. Mental ideology somehow put into a philosophic framework and thrust out there into the world. That's Woody Allen's sun-moon blend. And Woody Allen then, I mean, anybody who's seen Woody Allen's movies, they're probably the most philosophical of all movies that were put out throughout the 60s and 70s and 80s, where we're seeing a very definite ideology, a mental classification system that's being thrust out there philosophically. This is the primary types of energies. I'll give you another one, a Capricorn moon. A Capricorn moon is this need. It's earth. It's a need to administrate progress. It's a need to make things happen. It's a need to organize and a need to strategize. We have the governor of California has a Capricorn moon with a Leo sun. That's Arnold Schwarzenegger's sun-moon blend. A Leo sun is energy for self-promotion. Well, I should read my own chart so we can see it. Energy to be recognized. Energy to gain respect through personal expressiveness. Energy to be creative and forceful. Energy to lead. Arnold Schwarzenegger, for those who have read his biography, and a lot of this stuff was printed in the last couple months, this man has planned every single step of his life. That's what he needs, is to feel like he's administrating his life. Started out small town in Austria, you know, from very humble beginnings, decided that he was going to become master, whatever, Mr. Universe, went through the process, worked through, won his first title while he was Mr. Universe, decided he wanted to get to the United States, so he was going to use acting as a way to do that, did Pumping Iron, got over here, did some of the Conan the Barbarian movies, realized that he had a problem with the way he spoke, decided that he needed to take a bunch of different speech classes, which he did, then decided that he was being typecast, so he did another of those Kindergarten Cop and Twins and some of those other gentle types of movies while he was still in acting, decided he wanted to get into politics. This man has administrated every single step of his life. It's what he needs to do in order to feel fulfilled and good about himself. What types of energy is he using? It's Leo. This is, I'm Arnold, hear me. I have energy to be creative, to be forceful, to lead. That's the primary energy symbolism that you're looking at. Different sun, same motivations, different manifestation. An Aquarius sun is, again, this energy to be innovative, to improve, to intellectualize, to instruct, to develop an ideology and to communicate in a forceful, powerful, and influential manner. That's Abraham Lincoln's sun-moon blend. Abraham Lincoln and Arnold Schwarzenegger both have the same moons. It's a need to organize and strategize and administrate your way through life. Lincoln's the same thing. Another one of these stories from humble beginnings who really doggedly and deterministically pushed himself through the different levels to get himself into politics at a local level, moving on. Wonderful story. Story I don't really have time to go into. But Abraham Lincoln was the most ideological, perhaps, of all of the presidents that we've ever had. I mean, Lincoln's whole idea in the context of the Civil War, was that he had to manage and administrate this difficulty. Lincoln's premise was that the South couldn't secede because it wasn't another country and that this was just a police action. And through everything else, there was a Civil War, two countries, different currencies. Lincoln stood by that over and over and over and over and over again, even in his cabinet meetings. This was not another country. My mental, ideological understanding of this is a police action. The South cannot secede. And what he did was communicate it in an extraordinarily influential, innovative, powerful manner. But this stuff is important. It's a very simple way of understanding this, but oh boy, is it going to give you a lot of insight. For those of you that don't know what your moon is, I mean, I have contact information back there. Very accessible via email. I'd be more than happy to send you your moon sign so that you can use this little chart just to understand. It becomes profound in application. I do a lecture on parenting with astrology. This is really important. Generally, parents have an ideology also. Good reason. I mean, and it's been this way really since John Watson was doing some of his behavioral conditioning work in the 1920s. this idea that you can condition your children. So parents, with the best of intentions, come up with an idea of this is the best way to parent. And if they have three children, they will parent all three of those children generally in the same way, based upon this ideology and conditioning them to do this and not do this. Well, folks, we all got different needs. So three children are going to have radically different needs. We may have one child with a Taurus moon who needs an extraordinary amount of touch and a sense of security and groundedness and doesn't deal real well with a lot of change. And we've got another child over here that's got a Pisces moon who's really needing a lot of emotional give and take and a need to wander and to feel nebulous. And another one's got a Gemini moon who needs to talk and communicate and discuss. You can't parent to all three of those kids the same way, because the message then that comes across is your needs aren't important. This child can't communicate their needs any better than most of us can, and that's what this gives you, is a means of communicating needs. If we can identify needs, boy, whew, so many of the strains that we've got as parents, as spouses, two spouses have two different needs too, and I'll tell you, doing relationship counseling, this is where the majority of it comes from. I need one thing and you need another, and we don't understand different need symbolisms. The chart can help. Astrology can help. All of this in the end boils down to energetic, individualistic patterns. That is the premise, that we are each intrinsically unique, with each having very unique and important needs. And all we need to do then, astrologically, or in any other manner, is to be able to identify those needs. But this is arguably the most effective way to do it. So, I love what you all are doing here. And I love the spiritual orientation, and I love the idea, again, of connecting with the divine, with the spirit, with the forces that are out there. And what I hope is just this little tiny introduction to this gives you a set of tools that will help you understand a little more about what it is that you most need out of life. And through reconnecting with those needs, reconnecting with the sense of the divine and the intrinsic individualism that each of you are. Okay? Thank you.